Are you okay? Hi, I'm Larry. Yeah, not that it like no, it's not like anybody here doesn't know who I am, but I actually wasn't gonna come up here today until I actually said, okay, you know, God, you better give me a like really poke in the back to send me there, and gave me more like a back slap. So I was kind of like, oh, but I don't really want to go first. And Dave went ahead, and I thought, hey, that's great. But listening to Dave's testimony, Pio's testimony, I know it's strange, like in how similar in some ways it is, I guess, to be the second guy coming up here today, and I'm also one of the guys who's planning to leave. As many of you know, I have been, I guess, I've been led to leave Korea and go somewhere else. And this is the start of my 12th week of waiting full time for that whatever that is supposed to be coming to take me away. I'm thinking more like, you know, chariots of fire, kind of, you know, oh, you know, chariots of fire from heaven. But I know a lot of people here have been, some people are here waiting for promises, and they've waited a lot longer than I have. So definitely, I know I'm not the expert voice at this, but I honestly thought anywhere between 2 to 4 weeks of waiting. I thought 4 weeks max of waiting and I'll be gone. I'll be there and it'll be all settled. And so it's my 12th week. And during this time, because when I first, I guess, realized and decided to go, I felt I had a very definite call. I had a very definite mission. I had a very definite purpose. And I even knew how things played into me. I think one of the things my sister said as I discussed this with her really struck me, and Pio actually just said it, is when you start realizing the hurts that God's taken you through, or the hurts that's happened to you that God's healed from the past, and you realize how you can use that to minister to other people or to serve God, that's when really, you know, the blocks of your life are really falling into place. And I could actually see where some of the really the worst things that happened to me in my life in the past would be actually effective and useful in the new place where I'm going, or where I'm planning to go. I'm going. I know I'm going. Okay. So I'm not going to take that away. but, you know, waiting is tough. Waiting is always tough, I think. And like Pio, I had a pretty bad college life, but actually the bad was an extension of my childhood. And I know that a lot of you kind of see me and you guys think, oh, you know, Larry's a little choleric. You know, he's pretty choleric. You know, he's strong choleric. You know, he's overworking. I just heard super choleric out there. You guys have never seen me actually put my foot on the gas pedal. Like, I kid you not. I tell you this because I've never put my foot on the gas pedal in 2008. Because when I do, like, you know. Like, you don't even hang around to wait to see the storm come. Like, it's like just, you know, like people get surprised, I think. 2 weeks ago, I went to my old club, which is a finance club at school, and there's actually no. What does this have to do with my test? Yeah, but there's actually people who remember me, who studied with me, who were undergrad, who were like freshmen or sophomores in my senior year. They remembered me, and apparently, like when they heard I was coming, they spent twice as much time preparing, and they were like trembling as they made their presentations. And I was like sitting there and I was like, you know, man, I find a lot of faults, but I still love you guys. And I didn't really press it, but really God changed and he did a lot of work in me. But I think over these 12 weeks, over these 11 weeks, it's just been one one crisis after the other. It hasn't been. I think the crisis was that nothing happened. I think that was the crisis, really, to me. But it was just so hard. Not only did I not know how to wait, I thought I had a definite call. I thought I had a definite word from God, and I felt almost betrayed that things weren't coming through. It's only been 12 weeks. I mean, you know, Larry, you should really stick it up. But really, I had all day to think about it because I quit my job. So I had no job. I work in finance. This is the worst financial disaster of the 21st century. Some people say it's the worst financial disaster since the Great Depression. Whichever view you take it, it's a bad time to get a new job. He's sending me to a place where it has been announced by the end of this year there will have been exactly 100,000 people sacked in finance in that city. He said, "You're going to go to that city." I said, "Lord, wow, is this, I mean, nobody's going to even doubt that this is you, like, if I get a job there this year." But throughout all that time, and I was having these, one day I'd be like sort of okay, as in that day I would say, oh, you know, I was like trying to read my Bible or at least try to walk the way that I know God wanted me to walk. And the next day I'd be like, oh, Lord, why are you doing this to me? You know, just like, you know, what's wrong with you? You know, what's wrong with me? You know, what, you know, why are you so messed up? Or am I so messed up that you have to do this to me? Or like, I was like just arguing and kind of fighting and complaining. And then the next day I'd be like, oh, Lord, forgive me. You know, I was bad. And then the next day, I'd be like, Lord, but what are you doing? You know, I repented yesterday. Like, what's wrong with you? You know, you got to give this to me now. And this happened for 12 weeks, seven days, something like that. And that's like 36 ups and 36 downs. And, you know, it's not really a place to maintain your sanity and come out straight. But I realize now, and I shared this actually with another brother from a different church that I know, and it's about the difference between testing and waiting. And I realized, talking with him, so many times when something comes to us, whether it be like God gives you a word but it's not immediately fulfilled, or something hard happens to you, we think of it as a test. You know, oh, you know, God's given me this test so I can pass it. But what I realized was a test, by definition, implies that you have what it takes to pull you through. You know, when you take a test, you don't test something you don't know. You're tested on something that you do know, or you should know, or you're supposed to have, right? But that never works with God, because if he knows you have it and he knows what you have what it takes, why would he test you? He knows already. You know, it doesn't prove anything to anybody. But what we so many times call testing is actually a time when he's working in us, he's building in us. And it's not so sometimes we say, oh, we're waiting. But it's not the amount of time that we wait that matters. It's what's happening during that time. It's God's working in us, and he's just breaking us and molding us and remaking us and shattering us, and then building us back up, and then shattering us and building us back up, and which is really frustrating from time to time. But he does it because, you know, we can only take so much, you know, so much. Yeah, so much shattering. But I realized, you know, like we look at all these Bible figures. We look at Joseph. We look at Abraham, who was just mentioned. We look at Joseph. We look at Moses. We look at David, and we say, these people waited. But I think what I realized was, at the time, the person who enters that time of waiting and the person who comes out of it at the other end is not the same person anymore. It's just like a completely different person. And yesterday night, I was I actually had a couple hours to think just doing nothing. And I was thinking, I was like praying and talking with God. And I realized, you know, right now in my life, I think physically I'm in a really hard place. I have no job. My bank account is very close to zero. And I'm like about to cancel my pension fund, and like that's gonna like, you know, that's never a good thing if you're, you know, cutting into your pension, like, which was supposed to be your life savings. And but I like financially I'm in a pretty bad place. You know, I live with my parents, which is like, you know, sort of a little better in those sense. But you know, I'm somebody who works. I work. I'm a Martha. I have that spirit. And I define myself, and I give myself self-worth by what I do. And all that's been stripped away from me. And every time I try to look for, you know, worldly things, you know, computer games or books to just distract me, you know, God just like, bam, you know, forbids me. It's like, no, don't do that. Don't look at that. Just look at me. And it's been so hard to hang on to that hope. It's been so hard to hang on to that promise. But yesterday I realized, of all my life, of all the past 26, 27 years that I lived, if God had asked me, you know, Larry, pick a spot, I'll take you back. Or if you don't want that to happen, like, pick a spot and I'll make your current situation exactly like that. Like, anytime in your life. You can pick. And I realized, I thought, oh, you know, college, which wasn't really so great. I mean, which was kind of fun, but wasn't so great. You know, army, I don't want to go back there. High school, it's like, you know, do you really ever want to go back to high school? You know, and like, you know, middle school, elementary school, like, I don't want to, like, have to listen to all these teachers anymore. So, but like, that's kind of joking aside, I realized, emotionally, even though I was hitting a low every day, every other day, and I was hitting a high every other day, I realized I was in a place right now where I could honestly say my life had never been better before, better, which doesn't really say much about my former life. but no, like, you know, I met Jesus in February, so before February doesn't count. You know, that's not even life. You know, that I can just chop that. And between February and now, which is end of October, I can kind of look at it and I say, you know, I don't really want to go back to any point in that time. And why would I? You know, when I know that I've just, you know, gone through that 77 days of just the furnace and changing and molding, and I don't know how much more is left in front of me. But I'm no longer the same person. And I'm no longer the same person in a good way, because my relationship with God, my relationship with myself, my relationship with other people is improving. You know, maybe not every day is a step forward, but cumulatively, like, it's many steps forward. And I've just gotten so much more insight into who I am and who God is, and who you are in relation to me, who other people are in relation to me, how I should be feeling to them, not just in the way that God commanded me to feel or tell me to feel, but like really, you know, feel that, you know, and come into me and then go out to everybody else. So I guess, you know, I don't know whether my time is over or not. I try not to think about it. I hope that tomorrow when I wake up, I will remember what I said today and not hit a low, which is really tough to get out of. But I guess, you know, for every one of us who are going through a hard time, and I know there's many of us. I know there's many of us who are waiting, many of us who have a promise that God has given us that needs to be fulfilled. You know, we need to think of waiting not as a time where we just, you know, sit and let the seconds clock tick by, but know that these are the times that you know, wow, God is really building us and making us. Because at the end of the day, you know, it's, you know, sometimes I kind of wonder whether God has the right priorities in mind, because we are supposed to live for his glory, but he seems so much more interested in us living to our full potential and us being his children and rejoicing in it being his children. I'm like, you know, Lord, maybe you should spend more attention on, you know, your glory than, you know, it's like, you're like, yeah, time's up. But last few words, that he should spend more attention on his glory and not on our improvement, but he thinks otherwise. It's all the well. So, yeah, I just want everybody to be more hopeful about, you know, what's going on in their lives right now. Amen. Yeah. Sorry.